Quick emotional responses always lead to quick emotional defections.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our message is based on Matthew, the 5th chapter and verse 8, and it's entitled, The Bliss of the Pure in Heart. At some point in our lives, each of us must decide what is our highest joy, what brings us the highest form of joy. This is an absolutely critical juncture in our life, a point at which we must all arrive ultimately and ultimately decide. For the thing that delights us will also direct or control us. Generally speaking, a child, for example, finds his delight in what he has, usually his toys. A youth finds his delight in what he does, activity. Just fill up his calendar and his schedule with activity, he'll be happy. An adult finds his delight in what he is, his character. Now, we do not condemn a child or even a young person for so living, because neither has yet reached maturity. But we would certainly wonder about an adult who lived on those lower levels. An adult should know and understand that possessions, those things which delight a child, and experiences, those things which delight a young person, possessions and experiences are empty apart from character. What we are inwardly, and we can never be all that we were intended to be until we're properly related to Jesus Christ. Our chief claim to nobility as human beings is that we have the capacity to fellowship with God. And the greatest tragedy of sin is that it has alienated and separated us from God. The very purpose for which God made us has been smashed by sin. We can never be what we were intended to be until we're properly related to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then what we are will determine how much we enjoy what we have and what we do. There are people who have everything they want and find out that they do not want anything that they have. There are people who have experienced achievement who are utterly unfulfilled. They've learned the hard way from experience that achievement and fulfillment are not convertible terms. They have everything that they want, they do everything that they want, but their life is empty because they are not what they ought to be. They're not properly related to their God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus tells us in this beatitude, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Jesus tells us in this beatitude that the highest joy, what is your highest joy? Someday you'll have to decide that. Because whatever delights you will direct you, it will control you, it will consume you. Jesus tells us in this beatitude that the highest joy possible is to see God, to anticipate that when we die, we will be ushered into the presence of God in heaven, and to see Him in all the workings of our life on a day-by-day basis. Wherever we look, the sincere and devoted Christian, the disciple of Jesus Christ, sees God. And the highest joy of man is to see God. And Jesus tells us in this beatitude, not only is that true, but He tells us in addition that we cannot see Him unless we are pure in heart. That is a powerful mandate. Unless we are pure in heart, we cannot see God. You know, what we see is very important. When you look out upon the world, what do you see? What we see is very important. There's a little equation. I've mentioned it before, and I think you need to be acquainted with it, so I'll reaffirm it. How we see things, our outlook determines our outcome in life. Abraham one day, lifted up his eyes, and he saw the stars, and he became the friend of God. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. One day, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Sodom, and he became the friend of the world. Abraham gained the city of God, that which he had been seeking. Lot lost everything that mattered to him when Sodom went up in smoke. They looked at the same things. They looked together out upon the world, but they saw things altogether differently. Wherever Abraham looked, he saw God. Wherever Lot looked, he saw self. And his outlook determined his outcome. It's absolutely critical what we see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God wherever they look. It's critical, it's important that we develop the capacity to see God. We ought to crave that vision as our highest joy. Every one of us should crave the kind of purity of heart that will give to us a full-fledged vision of God. You know, Peter says in the little book of 2 Peter, Peter says that there are godless men who live out their lives in this world, and all they see is immoral things. In fact, he says very powerfully, their eyes are full of adultery. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. Their eyes are full of adultery. Jesus says our eyes ought to be full of deity. He says, wherever you look, upward upon the stars, outward upon the world, inward, into your own moral nature, backward into the flow of history, upward, outward, inward, backward. Wherever you look, you ought to see God. The consuming, controlling, motivating, captivating ingredient in your life and mine ought to be God. We ought to build our lives on the solid foundation of an eternal union with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus gives to us some very powerful words in this beatitude that will help us to understand what this concept is all about. Jesus gives to us three key words in this beatitude that will open up for us the significance of this thought, that every one of us should crave the kind of purity of heart that will give us a full-fledged vision of God here and now and in the hereafter. Now, there are three key words. Here they are. The first word is heart, and that will spell for us the sphere of purity. The second word is pure, and that will spell for us the substance of purity. And the third word is see. They shall see God, and that will spell for us the sequel, that which logically follows, that which naturally follows, the sequel to purity. Heart, the sphere of purity. God wants us to be pure in our hearts. Not up on the surface in some superficial sense, but down deep in our hearts, God wants us to be pure. How can it be? It can never be apart from a mighty work of God. Only God has the power to change a man from the inside out through the Lord Jesus Christ. Heart, the sphere of purity. Pure, the substance of purity. And see, the sequel, that which logically follows purity. Now let's look at this for a moment. First, let's look at the word heart. That's a very critical term, your heart. That's the sphere of purity. The gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned about the heart. All of its emphasis is upon the heart. The heart is the whole center of the teaching of Jesus Christ. He was always dealing with the heart. He was always saying that God could change the man from the inside out, from his heart. He was always saying that the problems that have infected humanity, that have despoiled humanity, are traceable to some lurking pollutant in the heart. It was the whole center and substance of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me approach that subject of the heart from a twofold perspective. Let me just say very briefly what it does not mean, what the heart is not. And then let me say as quickly as I can what it does mean. What is the heart? The heart is not three things. The heart is not, first of all, something purely emotional. We have a way of imputing emotion to the word heart. It's much deeper than that. When Jesus speaks of the heart, he's not speaking primarily of the emotions or the feelings of a man. And I think that there are altogether too many people who build their Christian experience on this very frothy and superficial basis, emotion. And the results are always predictable. There's always a little equation which is very predictable, and it always follows. Whenever we build our relationship with God in some superficial, frothy, emotional response that has no substance or ground in the Word of God and that doesn't really touch the heart, it's just an emotional zap. Whenever we build our relationship on that kind of a foundation, we can expect that this little equation will always work out, and it's this equation. Quick emotional responses always lead to quick emotional defections. And that's in the Bible. Jesus said, "The same is he that heareth the word and immediately with joy," there's a quick emotional response. "He heareth the word and immediately with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root within himself." That is, it's not down in his heart, it's up on the surface. It's a quick emotional response. He hasn't thought it through. It's not a response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but to some emotional trauma. "Yet hath he no root within himself, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, immediately he is offended." Now there's the equation. Quick emotional responses always lead to quick emotional defections whenever the going gets tough. You and I know as well as anybody that the Christian landscape is strewn with the remnants of those who began in a blaze of glory but are now nothing other than dead ashes. And the reason is because the work never reached the heart. It was only the heat of an emotional response. When Jesus says, "You must be pure in your heart," he's talking a great deal more than about your emotions. It's not something purely emotional. I want to go a step further and say it's not something purely behavioral. You know, the Pharisees were very good at this. The Pharisees were always ready to externalize purity. They really didn't put much focus on the heart. They were always ready to externalize it, bring it out on the outside. They made it something ceremonial, something ritualistic. They were good, the Pharisees, at reducing the way of righteousness to a list of rules and a code of conduct and external behavior. That's only functional. Christianity is not primarily, make sure you get all the words here. Christianity is not primarily a matter of conduct and external behavior. It is preeminently an issue of the heart. And you can expect, generally speaking, although there are some tragic contradictions to this, but you can expect, generally speaking, that when a man's heart is changed, his behavior will be changed as well. He's a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. His heart is new. His behavior is new. His appetites and his attitudes, his perspective and his philosophy, his destiny. It's all new in Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The mind is a tremendous servant. It's a terrible master. It's to be controlled by the authority of God's Word.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.